The Lord be with you. Let us confess our sins. Almighty God, we have sinned against you and your holy law. We have done those things we ought not to have done, and left undone those things we ought to have done. We have not had you as our God, nor have we loved our neighbor as ourselves. There is no health in us. My brothers and sisters, hear and believe these words of comfort. It is written, if we acknowledge our sins, then God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and purify us from everything that is wrong. And again, God so loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not be lost, but may have eternal life. Lord, grant to all who humbly repent of their sins and resolve in their hearts to live a holy and devout life, full and gracious pardon and the comforting presence of your Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Do not put your trust in men in power or in any mortal man. He cannot save. He yields his breath and goes back to the earth he came from. And on that day, all his schemes perish. Your way forever faithful gives justice to those denied it, gives food to the hungry. Yahweh restores sight to the blind. Yahweh strengthens the bent. Yahweh protects the stranger. He keeps the orphan and widow. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and illumine your word. Make it to burn within our hearts as fire, and imprint it on our minds as with gold. Come, Holy Spirit, use your word to convict us of your truth, to convert us to your path, and to consecrate us to your service. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the first letter of Peter, the second chapter, beginning with the fourth verse. He is the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. Set yourselves close to him so that you too, the holy priesthood that offers the spiritual sacrifices, which Jesus Christ has made acceptable to God, may be living stones making a spiritual house. As scripture says, see how I lay in Zion a precious cornerstone that I have chosen, and the man who rests his trust on it will not be disappointed. That means for you who are believers, it is precious. But for unbelievers, the stone rejected by the builders has proved to be the keystone, a stone to stumble over, a rock to bring men down. They stumble over it because they do not believe in the word. It was the fate in store for them. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a people set apart to sing the praises of God who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people at all, and now you are the people of God. Once you were outside the mercy, and now you have been given mercy. To the end of the 10th verse. You are a royal priesthood, Although the churches addressed by the apostle were small, few in numbers, beset by false teachers within and persecution from without, the apostle speaks triumphant words to them. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a people set apart. You few are, so to speak, the surety of God's promise made in Christ, a new rainbow constructed of living men and women that bears witness to God's intent to save mankind. We rejoice in the victory of these few in the Lord. We exult in their position. And inwardly, we feel a sense of pride and joy that these same words apply to our churches as the heirs of these early believers, their descendants by both water and by blood. Yet, when we think about the song of triumph, we become strangely ill at ease. We as Protestants, and particularly as Baptists, do not like the idea of priesthood, or priestcraft. A priest, after all, stands before God on behalf of another. He prays in that other's place. He offers sacrifices for the other, and indeed even mediates to him the presence of God. In our hearts, we think the apostle could not have meant that we were to be priests. It was merely Oriental hyperbole, a way of speaking. We have Christ for our high priest, we say. We don't need either priest or to be priest. We run rapidly through our textbooks of doctrines and find one marked the priesthood of all believers. Surely all the apostle can be talking about is that each of us can approach God in his own way. A vapid doctrine, if there ever was one. Not that we should all be priests. But you know, the scripture doesn't say that. Our rationalizations fall quite quickly. The apostle said, you are a royal priesthood. Our original exaltation has become confusion. What does he mean anyhow? A royal priesthood. At a minimum, he is saying that in God's ever-approaching kingdom, the people of God have a special vocation. Just as the old priesthood of Levi interceded for Israel, offered sacrifices on her behalf, and watched over her law, so the new priesthood, the royal priesthood of Christ, is to perform the same services for the new Israel, God's new creation. The Christian is not in the world simply to act as a witness before the world, but as the priest who assumes the burden of representing the world before God. The Christian is not a person who exists only for himself. He is a priest, a person who lives for others, prays for others, sacrifices for others. This priesthood gathered around the great high priest, Jesus Christ our Lord, is eternal, a priesthood truly after the order of Melchizedek. The realization of our priesthood, our royal priesthood, points to the meaning of our worship. We do not gather as individuals to receive something from our worship procedures. We gather as priests on behalf of a kingdom. Our prayers, our adoration, and our representation of Christ's sacrifice are all done for the sake of others. There's even a sense in which we can agree with the ancient monks that the prayers of Christians maintain the frame of the world. Our proper worship as the priest of the Most High is an essential element in the coming of the end time of God's holy kingdom. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of the most evocative of modern theologians, spoke of the importance of the arcane discipline of the church. The term itself came from the practice of the early Christians when the church kept its rites and rituals secret or even hidden from the prying eyes of the world. The mysteries of the faith were too important to be profaned by unbelievers, too important to be cheapened by those tricks that make worship popular, or as also often happens, a good show, too profound to risk misunderstanding. Such considerations, Bonhoeffer suggested, should sway us today as we struggle for a style of faith appropriate to our own age. For indeed, to us, Man appears to have entered an area in which God talk and pious practice have little place in our public arenas. Many of our contemporaries do not even know what we mean by words like God, sin, grace, or redemption, much less what we have experienced of these things. Our religious conversations are frequently embarrassing encounters in which little meaningful is communicated. Although our hearts cry out for a positive witness, we sense intuitively that God has become the new taboo, the modern replacement for the Victorian prudery about sex, and that often we must hold to faith as a hidden matter and be Christians incognito. We must be God's representatives in a world that lives before God and yet without God. It is at this point, I believe, that we make our most profound contact with the words of the apostles. His Christians faced a world that was as intolerant of them as ours is often indifferent to us. To be Christian, he tells them, to simply reverence the Lord in your hearts and always have your answer ready for those who ask. Their faith was not to be paraded. Times were too dangerous for that. It was to be held in secret, in incognito. It was these hidden believers, these secret Christians, who were the priest of the coming kingdom, the royal priesthood of Christ. And we have inherited, I think, their role today. We are the secret priest of the Most High in a world adrift from God. The gift of this priesthood, I believe, should not be regarded as simply one gift which we are given, but the one gift which we have been given by God. The royal priesthood of Christ is nothing less than the gift of the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, drawing the world into its true unity with its once and coming King. The Spirit comes as an energy that radiates from the innermost life of a God who is not the prisoner of our days and tomorrows, as a new life, as a real and substantial participation in God Himself. The mysteries that we and all the saints celebrate are finally the mysteries that take place in the heights and the depths of the infinite riches of the divine life. Such a priesthood is God's transforming glory, now no longer a cloud by day or a fire by night, but an inner reality that guides us in the world by transforming us into the true sons and daughters of the Most High. The promise of the serpent to Eve that she should be as a god has been replaced by the even greater promise given to Mary that we should be all in all with the God that fills all space and time. Is it not the great glory of our faith that the redeemed should be so filled with the Spirit that they not only receive grace from God, but become givers of God's grace to others? Is it not that this priesthood is a true priesthood that makes possible the reconciliation of God and man through the Spirit that dwells within? While we have this ministry, as Paul reminds us, in earthen vessels, are not these vessels the true bearers of the chrism of Christ to all the world? This priesthood becomes most real for us, as it did for the early Christians, in the joys and delights of the worship of the restored Israel. In our community of priests, we experience the joys and happiness of the age to come. Our hymns echo the great psalms of the new Israel. Our amens, the great amens that shall greet the crowning of the Lamb. Our intercessions, that day when there will be no temple in the city, since God Almighty and the Lamb will be the temple. We see in the Spirit that the bread and wine which we offer to the Lord are in fact his eschatological feast, the great messianic feast that follows the one sacrifice of the Lamb. Here, in our community of priests too, we know our worship is not ours alone, but is joined by angels, archangels, by all the host of heaven, by all those sanctified by the blood of Christ, and by the Spirit of God who continually prays with us in our hearts. Here we dare to stand before God with the whole of creation in our hands and to plead with him for its salvation as our love bursts the narrow confines of particularity and becomes one with the love of the crucified and coming King. Here amidst the prayers, the chants, the psalms, the confession of faith of our fellow believers, we find, if only for a fleeting moment, the peace and deep joy that we will enjoy in the age to come. Here the gifts that our Lord brought to us have free exercise, and we can give God the glory when brother or sister finds within themselves the promptings of the Spirit of God. Here, too, the first fruits of God's victory can be tasted, and we can know the real forgiveness of our sins and the rebirth of our spirits. Our worship is the new Canaan, which Christ has given to his nation of priests, the land flowing with milk and honey. Here we can remember that happy day when we in simple faith dared to brave the waters of Jordan and pass through them to the wonders that lay ahead. And the day of our baptism, of our plunge beneath that flood, is not one day, but an eternal day in which we and those on whose behalf we minister pass from darkness into light, from Egypt's slavery into the freedom of the promised land, from the fears and anxieties of Babylon into the new Jerusalem revealed by the glint of light on his empty tomb. Here his nation of priests dances before the ark of their God. Here royal priests indeed minister to royal David's son. Royal priests anointed with the sweet oils that ran down Aaron's beard. Royal priests that keep the law, not on tablets of stone, but in the flesh of their heart. Royal priests that participate in his coronation as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and who officiate at the wedding feast that joins Christ in his church. Royal priest in a royal land, theirs is the worship due to he who is Messiah and Lord. Hear again the apostle. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a people set apart to sing the praises of God who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell. On the third day rose again from the dead, ascended to heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray for civil government. Lord, lead our government to practice justice and lead its justice to be tempered with mercy. And in all things, O Lord, be present with those who have authority over us. Give them wisdom that we might live in peace. Let us pray for the work of the church. Lord, we pray for your church around the world and ask that it might find its true unity in your Holy Spirit. May it be bold in its witness, strong in its faith, and have power within this world to effect your will. Let us pray for the ministers of the church. Lord, be with those who would lead your church. Make them bold to speak your word, constant in prayer, Christ-like in their actions. Let us pray for the salvation of all men. Lord, we ask you to be with all those who have been bruised by the onslaughts of sin. We ask that you might lead all men here on this earth to a true and lively faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask, O Lord, that we might be made instruments of this redemption. Let us pray for the sick. Lord, send your healing hand to those in our community who are ill. Strengthen them in heart and in body, in hope and in faith, that they might give to you that worship which is your due. Lastly, let us pray for ourselves. Lord, there are many prayers which we dare not express out aloud, even to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hear too these secret prayers of our hearts, and be with us, and be our God. Amen. My brothers and sisters, depart in peace. Do good to all men. Keep the faith which was in Christ Jesus. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine forth that others may see Christ in you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its savor, wherewith shall the world be salted? Go in peace, and may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit go with you and be with you, both now and in the age to come.